Welcome to the Mind Your Brain podcast, where I bring you inside the mind of the best athletes in the world, so you can understand the mental secrets of their success. Meet my guest today, pro triathlete Ronny Schildknecht, one of the nicest guys on the Ironman circuit, fourth place in Kona, and with an incredible 9 consecutive wins at Ironman Switzerland. It takes a special kind of mind to win a race so consistently. And when you know this amazing athlete, he's also the manager of world champion like Sebastian Kienle, you understand you are dealing with someone very special. So what a privilege to dive deep into Ronny's mind and understand his mental strategies to success. Please subscribe, share, and comment. Your support means a lot to me. Without further ado, let's talk with Ronny. Brilliant. I can see you. Awesome.
Very good.
So how do you set up a good mindset, a good headspace?
One thing was the perfect preparation, you know, like being prepared physically, which gave me a lot of confidence mentally as well. But then you always have these doubts, having doubts and being a bit afraid, but respect. Mm-hmm. I think it's good, but you have to make sure it doesn't eat you up. Yeah, you have to use it for the energy, you know, like to make you peak. I think you have to find the perfect balance to be nervous but also calm in the right moment. For me, yeah, I'm a fan of visualization.
What do you visualize? How do you visualize?
For example, it's maybe a bike ride before the race, mm-hmm. where I visualize how I want to feel, but I also try to think what could go wrong and have a solution.
Yeah.
Look at it in a positive way. It's always have a solution. It's not the problem. It's so what I'm going to do just to have a solution to that. I don't look at the, oh, I'm losing time. I have a flat. No. So, okay. You change, you have a spare, you change it, you do it. Oh, it's maximum 5 minutes. It's okay. You can still, you know, like even in a bad situation, look at it as a positive and have a solution for it. So if it happens during the race, you're like, oh, okay. I just do what I actually thought about. And I'm not even thinking about, oh, I have a flat, it's really bad, and now I'm not going to win the race. No, just do, oh, okay, I actually had this, you know, in my head 10 times, you know, went through that already, so it's not even a problem.
Because that allows you to be really in the here and now when something happens, because what the brain tends to do usually when we have an issue is the mind actually start to anticipate and to think about what's going to happen next. And then we start actually having all this self-doubt and all this anxiety and stress building up. But what you say is that if you are already prepared, because visually, mentally, you have prepared all the different scenario, then when that happens, that allows yourself to be like really in the moment and do what you've got to do.
Exactly. It's in scenarios, you know, these scenarios. But also I have, during the race, I have moments where I'm not thinking anything, you know, I'm kind of in a flow state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are some, I studied communications and there is like, a famous guy who is talking about flow, you know, when flow is like when you're actually not thinking, you're just doing, you're just, you know, it's just flowing, like you're just, yeah. And this is where I want to be, you know, the state of mind. It's just like, it's just flowing and the time, there is no time. There is no, it's an absolute great feeling. That's what I'm chasing, you know, this flow where it just goes and the body just does what your mind, they're in sync, you know, like it's just like you just do it, you're not even thinking.
So did you have this flow state sometimes? Did you have any race in mind where you had this flow state?
Oh yeah, many. Mm. Also many not. I remember I won Ironman Switzerland 9 times, and many times I there in these races, I was in the flow also because I knew this race so well, I guess, and I didn't have to, I was so at ease probably, and I knew exactly what to do, and it was exactly what I wanted to do, So I knew I'm going to win, and this is now I'm just doing it. And now I'm just kind of, it's like a movie where I'm watching, or not even watching. It's just like I'm almost not a spectator, but I'm more like
autopilot.
Yeah, it's like autopilot. It's autopilot. And then I come to the marathon. I'm like also mentally like, oh, well, I'm just going to run a marathon now. And this is it. It's done. I just do it now. It's for me. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to run 2:45 now. And this is what I'm going to do. It's not even, and you know, it is an unbelievable feeling. And then of course, sometimes you fall out a little bit. It's not all the way, but there are like, especially in the beginning of the marathon, funnily, I had these feelings of time, like, oh, I'm just going to do this now and going to, you know, like, it's not even a question, no doubts at all, like, no doubts.
So for those who don't know you, I mean, you are the king of Switzerland. You won this race like 9 times. Is it? Yes, 9 times. Yes, sure. Which is pretty amazing. You got a 5th place last year, which is pretty amazing too.
Yeah, not as good as the first, but yeah, I mean, I gave everything.
So what is so special with this race? How can you manage to get 1st place repeatedly like that in such a hard race?
Yeah, that's what I mean. When you start the series, winning a series, you're not thinking that way. You're always like a little bit what you can lose, because once you win the first time, it's like, wow, now this is crazy. I won. I never thought I'm going to win. And then the second time you win, you're like, wow, 2nd time, unbelievable. And then 3rd time, you're like, okay, wow, this is a strike. You know, this is a winning strike. And then you kind of, people starting to expect also you to win, which is mentally, again, also not that easy, you know, because not winning is losing, you know, like, I mean, coming 2nd in an Ironman is not losing at all, you know. But if you have been winning and before, then of course coming 2nd is losing. So, how did I do it? It's probably confidence. You get confidence. So you win 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, then you get confident. You know, oh, I can win.
That must play probably, I mean, against the other athletes, because they must be like, oh, Ronnie's on the start line now. Okay, now I'm racing for 2nd place. Ronnie's gonna win this place, I suppose.
Yes.
Even if they don't think like that, because as an athlete, you want to win. So when you start the race, you're like super prepared. And I mean, somehow you get a big target on your back, I suppose.
Yeah, subconsciously, I'm sure. I had also other races, duathlon races, where I won like 7 times or, you know, and then I just knew also before the race, even when I came to the place where the bike is, you know, transition zone, it's almost like, okay, I'm going to win. You know, it's like,
certainty.
You're right. Also me, but also probably I was probably acting like also they're like, oh, he's going to win. Maybe subconsciously they thought that. And I knew also I'm going to win, or I knew I probably, yeah, I was believing 100% in myself. So probably training, and then also knowing the course, and then the media, of course, as well. You can't, like, it's all together, but it's also a lot of pressure. I mean, that's not to, because to deliver a performance when you're under pressure, but I embraced it. I mean, I liked it. So
the $1 million question is, how can you replicate that on any single race?
Yeah, that's,
what do you think?
I mean, I had great races in Zurich, and then in Hawaii I had a 4th place as well. But then I went to Hawaii, I think 10, 12 times, and I could never replicate a very good race. Actually, far below what I could deliver. I mean, I was a few times top 15, and I had solid races. It's not that, you know, it's a world championships, and you could blame it on, it's hard to say why I couldn't, because yeah, I won in South Africa an Ironman race, then I won in the US, in Florida, but in Kona I mean, I never really succeeded. Could be because I'm not so made for the heat, maybe because I'm a bigger guy. In Switzerland, it's always a bit cooler, but it's hard to, I don't have really an answer why it didn't work, but I have an answer after like 5-6 times it didn't work. Then it's the same as if you win 5-6 times, you know, you start to doubt. It's the opposite of what happened in Switzerland.
Sure.
What happened a little bit in Hawaii, because you're like, oh, maybe I'm not made for this heat, this humidity, and your mind again starts playing you a trick, you know.
Exactly.
And it's very hard to overcome these voices, you know. So that was probably, if I'm really honest, also became a thing, you know, like, oh, I'm not made, and this island, I don't really feel good here, and you know, so you look maybe for answers or excuses maybe as well.
Yeah, I think that's the case, right? Once we start actually making up stories, because at the end of the day, whatever we believe is some kind of stories that we accept, that we agree to believe. It's the stories that we are making for ourselves. So we can make actually a story that we are made for this type of race, and then we win. And then we can made up stories as well that, okay, I'm not made for this kind of race, and then we lose. Because the truth is, like, on an Ironman, for those who don't know what an Ironman is about, it's 3.8K swim. So it's about 1 hour, probably less, 55 minutes sort of for you guys.
Maybe 47.
Yeah, okay, so that's 45 to 1 hour swim, that's 180K on the bike, and then that's a full marathon just to finish. So typically that's anywhere between short of 8 hours to 9 hours and a half, I guess, in Kona or something.
Okay. Like, yeah, some longer, but pros normally between 7:50 and 8:30, something like that.
So many things can go wrong on a race.
Yeah, and as you said, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, also. Like, I think in Zurich it was self-fulfilling, you know, prophecy, you know, and in Kona probably as well, you know.
Yeah.
And as you said, so many things can go wrong, but actually, you know, if your mindset is right, so many things can go wrong and you can still be a great race. You know, that's what I also learned with my fourth place in Kona.
Mm.
Nothing went well for me during the race, but somehow I got it together and ran from 12th place to fourth place and had a great race. And during the race on the bike, I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. And because it was a low phase, and then somehow I picked myself up. And
so how did you do that?
You know, that's a story. It was probably 100. So you're coming back from Hawaii. You know, it's like Kona is 90K out, 90K back, and you can imagine it's an island of lava.
Mm.
It's very unforgiving. It's hot, it's humid. That's what makes it hard. It's not the course itself. What makes it hard is the competition. But I think the biggest competitor is the heat, the conditions, you know. And I was just kind of, I lost my energy. I had cramps. And then, of course, let's say you get cramps and you lose energy, but you're still leading a race.
Mm-hmm.
It's still okay because, well, you're leading the race. You can feel however shitty you want. If you lead the race, your mind will tell you, oh, it's okay.
You're good.
You feel shit, but you were leading the race. Who cares? You know? But then I was kind of, I was in this group and I lost the group. You know, I lost these 10 guys and I couldn't hold the wheel. So then you start again. Your mind, it's your mind. Then you feel bad, you get cramps.
Yeah.
So it's the same situation, but your interpretation from my side was like, oh, I'm done.
Mm.
There, I can't have a good result, and you know, it's done.
Mm.
So I wanted to get off the bike and just stop. But the problem is in Kona, nobody picks you up, and it's 35 degrees.
Yeah.
And you know, standing there is even worse than riding, you know, because at least if you ride, you have a little bit of headwind. So I was like, okay, then, well, just ride. It was about 140K, so 40K to go. And then I thought, well, let's just ride back and then put the bike somewhere in my hotel room and go sleep in my air-conditioned condo. You know, that was my thought. And then somehow I spinned back, you know, I lost a bit of time. But then I thought, come on, now you're already back, and let's put the bike in the transition and just try on the shoes and go for a run, you know, let's see. Yeah. And then somehow, you know, I was like, oh, I'm feeling good again, you know, and let's see what happens. And then I was running 4 minutes pace, you know, which is very good in Kona. And so I ended up running a 2:48 in the heat and running into 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, so to fourth place. And then I was back at the race just 2 hours before I wanted to quit. And that's crazy. I mean, really, yeah, but that was my mind probably,
yeah.
You know?
Yes, which, absolutely, yeah. And yeah. It's funny how having the ability to be in the moment instead of focusing on what is going to happen next can make a difference between, because basically to your point, your mind was like, okay, now I want to stop, I want to give up. And then somehow you manage to put it back together and carry on. Yeah. And then you find actually this second breath, find this second level of energy, right?
Exactly. And then also your mind kind of clicks back in, and actually you get the energy back, and some, it's, this energy comes from, I don't know from where, it cannot come from the body only. It's probably something gets freed, you know, like, because I was, I'm back in the game. And then I had this energy and I was running like a madman, you know. Didn't feel any pain, because coming from a very low to the absolute high, it's like, it's unbelievable. Because if you felt like, oh, I lost everything, and then you're kind of, oh no, I actually can win everything. Yeah. Also, this gap gives you tremendous energy, you know, also.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. But I guess the brain is producing some chemical, right? Constantly. So when you start picturing that, okay, I'm gonna win, so you get all this adrenaline, all this dopamine, that kicks in, and then you start like not feeling the pain, right? I mean, this is when you guys pass the finish line. After like 8 hours or so, like you guys get exhausted, but still you manage, if you win, you don't feel the pain. You manage to go back and high five everyone.
Exactly. And then if everything is quiet and everything is gone, and then you kind of, you know, then you kind of, you get tired, you know. It's very intense, you know. I always say racing Ironman and these 9 hours is like a short lifespan, you know, like, because you have the ups and downs, and you know, it's like in life, it's the same, you know, just it's a bit slower, but you have ups and downs, and it's the same, you know. So it's a good lesson for me. Ironman racing was a good lesson to more for the, let's say, the low moments, to stay calm, and, you know, to believe also that everything is getting better, and this is I think that's really important, to really believe that, hey, this crisis is going away, this is just a moment. So if you're aware of that, then you can deal with it much better. That's how I look at it. And also that helps me in my personal life as well, where, you know, where I know, hey, this is okay, this is not good, but it's going to be better. If you stick with this and look for a solution, or just look at the positive side, you know, glass half full, half empty.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps tremendously. You know, you can always look at it like, oh, I'm, you know, half empty is easier than to look at the glass half full.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's true what you say about triathlon being a bit like life, because you have up and down. It's a bit like a roller coaster. The highs are very high, the low are very low. And it's true that we say sometimes that winning an Ironman, it's really about having the ability to suffer more than anybody else. But it's not only about suffering. I believe this is as well the ability to believe in yourself, to believe about what is coming next during the race. I suppose that a lot of people who, they can be better than you physically, but at some point, yes, everyone is suffering. They go through the suffering, but nobody can really stop suffering for like 9 hours. So it's all about this ability as well to believe in yourself and have this faith that you will find the resources, you will find the energy to overcome what is coming.
Definitely. And it's also to be ready for, I mean, suffer, you can, as again, suffer, you can embrace it, you know. And I think if you do, so I think it's with everything, whatever you do, you need passion, you know, like yeah. If you do this Ironman, you do it because of a reason, right? So you know that the pain is, I mean, we associate it with something negative, but actually it's what we are looking for. That's why we are not stupid. You know, we know what are we going to do if we do an Ironman. Yeah. It's going to work.
After 20 years, you should know now.
and this is actually where probably you look for these moments, you know, where is the limit? Where, I mean, and also after the race, you're not talking about the upsides, like how easy it was, you know, I was cruising at 300 watts. It was, you're talking about the downside. That's what it's all about. Yes. You know, it's like, oh, this, I was struggling and I kind of dig myself out. This is what it's all about, you know? And that's why I think, why you do an Ironman, you know, or something else, you know, a challenge, everything. You do everything you do, and can be anything. But I think if challenges and then kind of dig deep, and that's what makes it special. You know, if it's easy, it has no value.
It has no value.
You know, and suffering is I mean, it needs. Yeah, you need to know why you're doing it, and you need to have a motivation. But yeah, if in an Ironman you will suffer. I mean. And also, how much are you willing to suffer? I mean, everybody has his own, you know, level of what's enough, and that's fine, you know. I mean, I think it's really where are the limits, you know? That's what in life for me, it's where is the limit? Where can I push through? And I wanna, yeah, you wanna be. Happy with about yourself, you know, if you have a low and you're not giving up and sometimes you give up. I also sometimes I kind of, you know, during a race I said, hey, I can't do it today, I don't have it.
Yeah,
you know, I don't have the energy, I don't have the mindset, I'm done. So it's okay, you know, we're human, you know, we're not machines.
Yes.
And it's okay, but we live for another, you know, how we say, you fight another day, you know?
And exactly. Yeah. And that's the beauty of triathlon as well, because that's a very honest sport. And especially on long distance, it's very hard to hide. And if you do the work, you should get some results, at least personal results.
Exactly. It's about the personal results. And I know it's all about finishing, but I mean, it's such so hard, and the preparation you get, you put into it, and I think it's no, yeah, it's I don't see it that you have to finish. It's, you know, you're human, and if you can do it, it's great. But there are many who drop out, and it's okay, you know. I mean, as I said, we're humans, and there are always reasons, you know. Sometimes if you can prepare perfectly. There are so many things, as we said, nutrition, mental state, injuries. Mm. I would say so many things you can go wrong. So,
So I understand that when you were younger, you started actually playing tennis. So when you put that in perspective, what do you think to be the main mental difference between a tennis player at high level and a triathlete at high level?
I have so much respect for tennis because I played it, and I think it's totally different, I would say. I think it's much more nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. Tennis is delicate because they're small. It's how it's even how you hold the racket, how you hit the ball. It's millimeters. And sometimes it's 1 point and it counts right now. And in triathlon, you have 9 hours, you suffer differently. It's like, it's totally different suffer. I would say it's very interesting. You almost can't compare it because sometimes the big points, the big, like Federer, they play their best in the most important situations. Mm-hmm. It's like fifth set, 5-6-5 and or tie break, and then somehow they can play the best tennis.
Yeah.
And I have so much respect for that, because it's really hard to have the confidence to play your best tennis. In the most important situation where everything you did, it's 1 point now. So you were playing for 3 hours,
yes,
and you lose or you win. If you don't do this point, you lose. It's so much pressure, higher in a moment. In Ironman, it's a longer period. It's like pushing yourself. It's different, And also, there is a line in tennis, and if it's next to the line, it's out. If it's on the line, it's in. It's, so small margins. I have so much respect for tennis players. That's where I was struggling, actually, For me, it's much easier to suffering on a 9 hours. For me, it's like, it's not, it's not that hard. Tennis is, for me, is a bigger challenge for me personally.
So you see, that's very interesting what you say, because we tend to see the mind as one single piece, all right? Yeah. Mental strength, mental resilience. That actually, when we talk about the mind, this is something much wider than that, much broader than that. In the same way as we are training our body, a triathlete is not training the same muscles as a tennis player. And I believe that the mind is the same thing. I believe that we need to train our mind in the exact same way that we are training our body for specific purpose, for specific situation.
I agree. I mean, for me, dealing with very high pressure in one moment is much harder. Mm-hmm. As I said, than if I'm in the race, there is no nervousness. But in tennis, you're like between points, you get nervous, now, because your mind is like going like, this is now, This is it, If on a pedal stroke, if you're like, this one didn't go so well, or for 5 minutes I was actually a bit drifting away, so let's go back at it, In tennis, it's the same a little bit. You can, for 2 or 3 games, you can kind of be off your game, but then there are the big points.
Yeah.
And it's a moment. It's really one moment.
Yeah, exactly. That's an ability to be really in the now, really in the moment. While on the Ironman, what you say is that, okay, it's more about going through the pain, and I've got a bit of time to readjust, to reset myself. So it's more like resilience over a long time.
Yes. Yeah, I would say so. Yes. But I love tennis as well. And I played quite intensely when I was young. But I never had the nerves in tennis. I was horrible. I was throwing my racket, and I was just not ready for it, I guess. And I had quite a bit of talent in tennis. I also played against Roger Federer once. Mm-hmm. When he was young, I was young, and I was, I couldn't control my emotions, and also playing, they say in tennis, like if it really starts to count, some guys, they kind of like Roger, then they really play their best. And I was actually playing much worse. And in I had really funny, let's say, when I was in training, playing with my buddies who were top level, then if somebody from outside was watching, and then another guy asked him, so which guy do you think has the better rankings? Mm-hmm. And then they were like, that's Ronnie this guy must be. So they said, me playing in training looks much better, and I played better, but then in the match, it's a total different story. you know, when it counts.
So maybe this is something that you could have learned.
Yeah, maybe I could have learned, but yeah, in training I was the king, and now it's opposite. In triathlon, I'm not the best in training, but in racing, I have like another gear. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. So we should have a rematch now. Did you actually win or did you lose against Roger?
I lost 6-4, 6-4.
Okay, so we should invite Roger actually to maybe have a rematch against you, but maybe on a triathlon this time.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather prefer again another match, tennis match, but I know he has a bike. He lives around, you know, where I live in Switzerland here, in Zurich, near Zurich. So I'll see him probably again.
Okay, that's cool. So just tell me something, because you started triathlon, I mean, rather late for a triathlete.
Yeah.
So you started when you were about 20 years old, right?
Yes.
Did you learn swimming at this time or did you do a lot of swimming before?
I never really learned it, you know, until this day. Well, I kind of had to learn it. Yeah, I was into duathlon first more.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
My swimming was not so good. So I did duathlon. I was quite successful in duathlon. And then, I got into Ironman, triathlon. But I also autodidactively learned to swim, you know. I never really had a coach. And I just kind of, started swimming. And I got to a decent level, but there are some limits.
Yeah, especially now because you got a lot of swimmers who are coming into triathlon, who are coming from the Olympic distance, and they are like super fast swimmer. So how do you prepare yourself for that? Because when you start a race, and now actually the level in triathlon is so compact.
Yeah.
I remember like in the past, like it was okay to lose like 3-5 minutes on the swim, but was not a big issue. You could like come back on the bike. But now if you are not in the front pack, it's complicated. So how do you mentally prepare for that? What goes in your mind when you're starting the race? I mean, I know that now you're a much stronger swimmer, obviously. Some of these guys can swim 45, 47.
No, definitely. No, I'm also aware that, that's something you know exactly. And I know that starting from the swim, I am kind of I have to catch up, you know, from the start. So I know I'm going to lose 4 minutes on the swim, and then I have to catch up. I have to kind of have confidence in my bike abilities and my run abilities. Yeah. That's all I can do, you know, and just try my best not to lose too much time. And but I'm used to it, so I know I will have. It's more like when I come out of the water, I'm a little bit scared that like how many minutes, you know, is it? And I'm always hoping for like 4, and then if I seven is not good. 7 is because these guys can bike as well and they can run. So,
but it's quite funny because in a way, actually having a relative weakness, but having a weakness helps you to have more faith in your stronger sports. You have more faith in your ability to ride. You have more faith in your ability to catch up. So I guess your mindset is a bit different from, let's say, Javier Gomez would be starting the race and he would be like, gosh, he's expected to be in the front pack.
Yeah, exactly. And I had some races where what's the cool thing is like some races I didn't expect to come to swim good and then I swam good. And that's like a big, big plus because then you're coming out of the water already like, oh, I didn't expect that. Only that's 2 minutes, amazing. Unbelievable. So I think it's also important to go into a race and you really know what to expect. So again, I have scenarios, good case. I know this should be possible 5 minutes. And if I'm less, for me, it's already like, oh, that's great. Another, maybe somebody else would come out of the water 3 minutes. It's like, oh my God, my race is over. And I'm like coming out, oh, not 6 minutes, just 4. Oh, that's great. You know, again, using this also, it's interpretation of yes. your of your mind.
So it's all yeah. about the mindset. It's all about the lens that, yes, that, the lens that you put actually on a situation, because for you, you're like 3 minutes down and you're like, yes, that's amazing. Yes. I'm yeah. going to win this thing.
Yes, exactly.
If you are a strong swimmer and you're expected to be on the front pack,
yeah.
and for some reason you're like 2 minutes down, that's the end of the world.
It's the end.
Right.
I mean, they lose the goggles and but they're not, I mean, yeah, nothing is lost. But it's just, again, it's the lens, how you, what you, it's about expectations.
It is, yes. And I'd like to talk about that, Ronnie. Like, what is the difference to you about expectations and intention? Because when we talk about expectation, you were talking about your fourth place in Kona, for example. Once you get a fourth place in Kona, I mean, basically, you are on the podium, right? For pro, yeah. pro bike, this is top 10, right? Goes on the podium. You get a side yes. bowl. Yeah. So that's an athletic achievement to get one of these balls. Yeah. That's the yeah. Olympic. That's the Olympics of the Ironman, clearly. So when you yeah. get there, I guess when you go on this race, it's more about the intention. I've got the intention to give my best on the day. And as you were describing your race, you got up and down. Somehow you find actually the resources to fight back, get into the race, and bam, get into fourth place, which is exactly. legendary. Next year, what is it about? Expectation?
Of course, it's normal. It's how also, as a professional athlete, it would be a bit strange if you say like, or I think you would lie to yourself if you don't have expectations. I mean, if you fourth, the next step is at least third, you know?
Right.
I mean, I think stagnation is going backwards, you know, like if you're not improving, then you're going backwards. And that's my, how, and I think that's professional sport. That's how we as human beings, like, you know, like wanna, you know, you, I mean, I've never heard of somebody like becoming fourth in Kona and then other year 10th, and he's like, oh, I'm very happy. I mean, it depends a little bit what happened before the race. If you got sick and you know, and also I think a lot of athletes, they lie to themselves a little bit, you know, yeah. to put down expectations, which is it's like a shield a little bit. So they say, oh, I was injured and I was sick and I think I'm not that fit. So because it's pressure, again, expectations from yourself, but also from the outside. But for me, I always used it as, again, also in Switzerland, I used it kind of as energy, like, hey, they expect me. So there is a reason they expect it. So I guess I, you know, I'm good. You know, like, why would I say, oh no, then now they expect, and I'm like, no, I expect it, they expect it. Well, there's a reason why they expect mm-hmm. it, right? And I love to deal with that, you know. I used it as energy. So, but I can understand that, oh, now I, you know, if you let's say, yeah, if you win for the first time, and then everybody's like, oh, so now you win again, they're like, oh no, I just won once, and now we'll see. Yeah, I mean, that's not the attitude of somebody who will repeat.
Yes.
Repeat it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think to be the difference between, we talk a lot about talent, and you mentioned talent yourself when you were talking about tennis, but what about talent? Do you think that talent is something which is real, or this is just an illusion? This is just a label that we put on something? What about talent versus potential, about hard work? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, talent, character also. Talent is for sure something which, I mean, we are born a certain way, and I think some are talented in ways of how they are built for certain sports. Mm-hmm. I think there is a certain talent people have. For certain, yeah, I think like talent also, or for, you know, some like sports, some like painting or dancing, or it's a little bit, you probably go where you get where you have your talent. Yeah, your natural abilities, you kind of naturally flow that way, you know. And
do you think that in the same way, like mental strength can be something that is innate, or is it something that can be learned?
I think mental strength can be learned, 100%. I mean, I was mentally not, I mean, I think all my experiences and also defeats and learning from the defeats and also from the positive, from wins, yeah. It's all, or your whole life, your experience from all experiences in your life. Mm-hmm. The thing is always to learn something and to learn about yourself and also to be honest to yourself and acknowledge when you do something wrong, but also if you do something right, and to know also how my body works. I was always a big believer in believing in my feeling. I never really had a coach, kind of. I was not really good coachable because I also training, I was like, oh, I feel good today, but today not. And so I was always training how I was I was always a very feely guy, like, right. How, yeah, right. Like, so very hard to coach, I remember, and still. So yeah, I think it's definitely mental strength is something you can train and learn. And I don't know if it's, I don't think it's a talent. I think there are no, maybe a little bit, but my opinion, there are some, you know, like, yeah, physically, there are some more talented, you know, that it's obviously VO2 max. There are some, you know, some people can go up to 99 and some can only go to 60. Yeah. It's just given. It's just given. So, but other than that, especially in endurance sport, you can do a lot with a lot of training and fat oxidation, like all these, that's very important. Training, nutrition, or how you live, how healthy you live. And then also the mindset, I think, how strong you are, you know, that you, if you want to have success, you know, if you really say, look, in 10 years, I want to win Kona, and you can be so focused that you train and do everything for that. And maybe you're not the most talented, but you do, like, you work on your mental side and you everything what you can control, you control kind of in a positive way, and you love what you do. I think it's possible, you know, but we are humans. Sometimes we lose a bit of the focus, maybe a little bit. And and that's why mentally too, it's so important, the mental attitude.
Absolutely. Because to your point, I think it's all about the attitude, because even though you said everything can be learned, I completely agree with that. I'm a mental coach. So I'm a big believer that everything can be learned, of course, when it comes to the mind, but some people have a kind of, I would say, natural instinct to approach whatever is happening to them with a certain lens. Like, for example, to your point, it's like, whatever is happening to me, good or bad, well, I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to reflect on it. I'm going to learn from that. So you can see everything as a way to explore yourself, to learn from that and be a better person or a better athlete, which is not everybody's case.
Yeah, no, that's what you say. I think in the end, it really comes down to, in your life, things are happening, good, bad. And I think how you deal with these situations is probably going to really, that's where it decides where you will go, you know? Mm. And so if you come to 20 problems and you look at them in a positive way, all the 20, you're probably ending up in a positive way. And if you approach it like oh, this is bad, and it's like, for me, it's not even for me, it's so easy, because I'm like, well, this doesn't bring me forward. I mean, I can feel bad, and I can kind of say how poor I am, you know, kind of like this, which is sometimes is normal, but for me, it's always like, okay, this went bad. Okay, it's not easy, this mindset, but and I'm not always perfect, but I say I really try to look at it half full than half empty on everything.
Yeah.
Because the rest doesn't help you. That's what I learned, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But of course, I'm not always this positive person. I mean, nobody is. But in general, I think, you know, I am.
I guess it's like the body, right? I mean, you are not 100% perfect physically every day. You have up and down. So it's more about like showing up, getting the right intention and trying to improve every day. I mean, you have been on the circuit for like 20 years as a pro triathlete, which is pretty amazing. Over these 20 years, have you ever been impressed by someone, coach or an athlete, for their mental strength, for their mental, I don't know, ability or something that was like amazing?
Oh, I'm actually, honestly, I'm almost inspired by my surrounded people almost every day with some small things, you know, how they do certain things and how they approach certain things. That's what I'm really curious about, you know. Talking with you, or I always try hear something out like, oh, that's, you know, yeah, honestly, that's not, I couldn't say there's one moment or there are 10, or it's like, I'm always inspired by people, how they approach life, honestly, you know, and then sometimes also like, oh, they should do it differently. I also see the other side. So I'm curious about it. And then some have such a high, they train all day and they're motivated every day. They go to swim every day and it inspires me, you know?
Yes.
So I'm like, wow, this is great. And it kind of, I'm always inspired. You know, I love to be inspired because I have, I'm not always like swimming, for example. Sometimes I don't feel like swimming, you know, it's not my strength. And then I was in the Engadin in St. Moritz training with a group of triathletes, and they are much younger than I am, and they jumped in the pool and they were so motivated, you know, and they were standing at the pool deck and looking at me, and I'm like, oh my God, I need another coffee, you know. And they jumped in and I'm like, these guys, okay. And then I kind of got inspired, you know, like, so it happens to me almost every day, you know, like, okay, you want to swim with these guys? Okay, then maybe you should change your attitude a little bit, you know, towards the swim, you know. So happen, and in everything, or after the training, I'm tired. So, some say, hey, okay, we go for a run at 5. I'm like, oh, well, I'm tired, but okay, let's go. You know, it's like, yeah. I mean, people, each other can help each other so much. And also myself, and I hope to inspire sometimes others a little bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are really moments every day, also in real life, like not only training or triathlon, in all situations, you know? Yeah.
So what do you think has been the most challenging things that you have ever faced, mentally challenging thing that you have ever faced?
Mentally? Well, for me, mentally is always the hardest when I have no control over, kind of, okay. Where when it's not in my power. Because that's where I struggle the most, because I always want to
control.
So I also, if other, like, I always have solutions, right. You know, so if somebody has a problem, I have to salute, like, for me, it's always, it's not about the problem, it's about the solution, you know, I don't care. And that's also my problem sometimes, you know, because sometimes if you have a problem, it's about talking about it. And for me, it's the solution, you know, what's the solution about it? And not, but because that's how I work, you know, like, so this problem, well, okay. What can we do so we don't have it anymore? And that's a little bit, and sometimes it's about the problem and talking, and then you cannot just have a solution, like, you know, for me, it's how I work, you know, it's how, yeah, I never, you know, I have a problem. Well, don't think too much about it. Just look for a solution, you know?
that's a good attitude, I suppose.
Yeah, but So for me, it was always a challenge to mental challenge when I can, it's not that I cannot, I have no solution. You know, I can, maybe a problem of a friend or for somebody else. For myself, I, you know, if it's something from me, I always have a solution. I mean, it's my mindset. I can control it, but and I can change it as well. It, like really, but like if I want other people feel better, but I cannot make this happen, that's mentally hard for me, you know, like, because then I can change it. And maybe it's also something you cannot change because it's, yeah, it's something maybe whatever, it's maybe a sickness or, you know, these things. But then, and you, when I'm not in control, you know, that's the hardest for me. If I cannot turn it around, you know,
yeah,
that's where my biggest, it's more about my surroundings, you know, if something happens, if that's what my struggles, the biggest are, you know, where I have no control. Of course I have control about how I gonna interpret it, but I also care about that everything, everybody like, around happy, you know?
Yeah, but I guess you're absolutely right. I think the losing control is something that a lot of people don't like, but at the end of the day, there is always a certain number of things that we can control.
Yes.
To your point, we can control how we are going to react, how present we decide to be for ourselves and for the other people who are facing a problem. So that's, that's a lot of mindset as well. And I guess this is where maturity helps a lot, because when we are younger, it's always a bit harder. We tend to be a bit scared and lose control when something outside happens. And with a bit of maturity, I guess we are a bit more in control, at least more in control of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, that for sure. But I would say, I just, when you ask me what's your biggest, like, and for me, for myself personally, as I said, for me, it's easy to look at things in a positive way. That's how I always was in every situation. For me, I'm a people's. So if my surroundings are happy, then I am happy too. So it's always linked. So that's my biggest challenge probably, when I have no control. And but I can deal with it better, because if you have no control, again, you can also in your mind, you're like, okay, well, you can only control what you can control. It's, and you have to learn that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, so, all right, so we are approaching the end. So just the last few questions.
Sure.
So beside visualization that you say you practice, do you use any other tool like meditation or things like that to train your mind?
Yeah, well, for me, it's very important that once a day I can switch off completely. Mm-hmm. That can be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And I have my, and for me, it's like my headphones, noise canceling headphones, where I really put some, I love to have relaxing music. And it's kind of my personal, you know, I feel so refreshed. I'm just relaxed. I just want to get in a relaxed state.
Right.
I try to have dark and like in my room for, sometimes I have no time. Sometimes I have 10 minutes, 20, but I can switch off like in an instant. And that's something which for me is so important. So I can really switch off everything. So I'm thinking nothing, no problems, no nothing. And so helpful. Recommend it to everybody to do this if possible, to have 20 minutes, 30 minutes, just a switch off, you know, and it's so refreshing. And it's also, you need to learn that, you know, I had to learn it to really switch off. And I can just dive in and have my headphones. And that's what I, makes a big difference for me.
I think that's a great advice, because I mean, people probably don't know that, but we have about 70 to 80,000 thoughts a day. So that's about one thought per second. And taking time actually just for oneself and being just relaxed, just in the moment, it's so important.
Yeah, that's probably training, you know, you can train as much as you want, but you need to also able to absorb it and to be again, this is it's a muscle and it needs recovery as well.
Absolutely.
You cannot always fire all the time, it gets tired. I mean, I get tired. I mean,
yeah.
Thinking, I mean, it's like work day. If you train all day, you're tired, but you're as tired if you have a work day all day. It's the same, it's different tired, but you're tired.
You're tired, yes. And to your point, the mental is so important in your sport. That, I mean, for everyone's life, actually, the mental is so important. We sometimes don't realize that. So taking a break in the same way as we would be taking a break or a rest day in training, that works the same actually with the mind, really.
And the key is to really switch off. That's where you have to learn. And because, yeah, that's when you, yeah.
Meditation is a very, very good way to do that.
It's
a perfect way to switch off once you know how to do it.
I don't know. I don't know how to do it, but I just do my own way, I guess.
I will teach you, Ronnie. I will teach you meditation.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, Ronnie, thank you so much. I would like to acknowledge you not only to be an amazing athlete, to be the king of Switzerland. I expect you to win next year.
That's my big goal.
That's big goal.
Next year, my last season, and there I'm going to win.
Okay, you will win, absolutely. And I would like to acknowledge you as well, to be like such a great person to talk to, for your curiosity as well, and to be such an open-minded person. So thank you very much for that. And the very last question, just imagine that you could go back in time, maybe when you were a tennis player or when you just started your career as a triathlete, and you could go back to the young Ronnie.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give to Ronnie in terms of mental capacity, or what advice would you give to Ronnie?
It's very simple. It's like it will become good. Don't worry too much. Believe that it's going to be good. All will be good. You know, don't worry too much. That's what I would tell me. You know, like, believe that everything will become good. Very simple, you know? Like, kind of, time will pass and it will become good or better. Or, you know, don't get in this devil circle and just, because I was there, you know, like, but trust in yourself and trust in the process and that's what I would. So that would make it all a little bit easier, but I think maybe that's what I needed, you know,
the learning curve. Thank you so much, Ronnie. That's a great advice. And I think that will help absolutely everyone, not only the young Ronnie. So thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it. And if you have enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. See you in the next episode.